From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. All eyes are on President Donald Trump as he readies his announcement for Supreme Court nominee to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy this evening. According to news reports, Trump is picking between four candidates: Amy Coney Barrett of the Seventh Circuit, Brett M. Kavanaugh of the District of Columbia Circuit, Raymond M. Kethledge of the Sixth Circuit, and Thomas M. Hardiman of the Third Circuit. There are also reports that Trump is enjoying the drama of all the attention he is garnering. We'll examine his nominee later in the week once his announcement is made. After he announces his Supreme Court pick, the president heads to Europe for what is sure to be a fraught meeting in Brussels with NATO leaders tomorrow night. Trump is expected to demand that the heads of state of NATO nations increase their defense budget to keep up with the U.S.'s bloated military. Trump has also angered his European allies with an aggressive trade war. In anticipation of Trump's visit and the NATO summit, European activists marched by the thousands in Brussels over the weekend. The hashtag #TrumpNotWelcome was one of many slogans. Another one was Make Peace Great Again. Trump will visit the UK on July 13th, where activists have obtained approval for massive anti-Trump protests and even a Trump baby balloon to fly in London's skies. British Prime Minister Theresa May is experiencing a crisis of her leadership after a top minister overseeing Brexit negotiations resigned. Newsweek described it as, quote, "The resignation of the Brexit minister threatens to open a chasm in May's conservative or Tory government, with moderates calling for a soft Brexit on one side and extremists lobbying for a hard Brexit on the other. There is even speculation that by the time of Trump's visit, there may be a new prime minister." Here in the United States, a record-breaking heat wave engulfed Southern California since Friday, with temperatures hitting past 110 degrees Fahrenheit and remaining scorching hot through Sunday. The heat led to power surges, which in turn led to ill-timed outages, leaving tens of thousands of LA area residents without power. The Department of Water and Power reported on Sunday that Saturday was the second highest ever usage of electricity and that Friday was the hottest July 6th on record. There were also several wildfires across California that were burning from San Diego to the northern border with Oregon. One person died from the fires in Northern California. And it wasn't just Californians suffering from record heat. Over the past week, a number of regions in the Northern Hemisphere experienced extremely high temperatures. In North America, high temperatures were recorded in Colorado, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Ottawa. Temperatures in Algeria went past 124 degrees Fahrenheit, making it the hottest ever recorded in Africa. Glasgow, Scotland, and Tbilisi, Georgia also broke records. According to the Washington Post, no single record in isolation can be attributed to global warming, but collectively these heat records are consistent with the kinds of extremes we expect to see increase in a warming world. Haiti has been rocked with several days of violent protests over the weekend linked to the government's proposal to sharply raise fuel prices. According to Associated Press, looters pillaged, burned, and vandalized shops, and that the U.S. has asked its citizens to shelter in place. At least three people have been killed, and as many as seven, and all flights to and from Haiti have been canceled. Here's how some of the protesters explained to Al Jazeera what was happening.
This is a message to our president. Look how the cars are burning. Prices in local markets are going up. The situation is bad. The president must listen to us.
Kids who grow up in poor families can't go to school. The price of gas and other goods are already high. People want to eat, but the price of rice, cooking oil, it's all going up.
Those were the voices of protesters on the streets of Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti, speaking with Al Jazeera about protests that have rocked the nation. Haiti's Prime Minister Jacques-Guy Lafontaine announced that the government was suspending the fuel price hike. The Trump administration's détente with North Korea has hit a roadblock following 2 days of talks with high-level representatives from both nations in Pyongyang, South Korea. The South Korean leadership accused the U.S. of having a gangster-like mindset in regards to its aggressive demand for denuclearization. U.S. State Secretary Mike Pompeo retorted on Sunday, if those requests were gangster-like, the world is a gangster. Pompeo then made remarks while in Vietnam last night, wishing that U.S.-North Korea relations were akin to U.S.-Vietnam relations, and also referred to Vietnamese economic growth. He said, quote, President Trump believes your country can replicate this path. It's yours if you'll seize the moment. The miracle can be yours. At another international gathering, the Trump administration has stunned nations of the world with its aggressive anti-breastfeeding stance. At a meeting of the World Health Organization in Geneva over the weekend, hundreds of delegates gathered from around the world expecting to easily pass a resolution promoting breastfeeding, only to find that the U.S. representatives were now against it. According to the New York Times, United States delegation embracing the interests of infant formula manufacturers upended the deliberations. When that failed, they turned to threats, according to diplomats and government officials who took part in the discussions. Eventually, the U.S. threatened Ecuador with harsh trade rules and an end to military support if it didn't join the U.S. Ecuador caved into the pressure, and other poor nations dependent on the U.S. followed suit. A British representative who advocates for breastfeeding told press what happened was tantamount to blackmail, with the U.S. holding the world hostage and trying to overturn nearly 40 years of consensus on the best way to protect infant and young child health. Here in the U.S., Congressman Keith Ellison, the nation's first ever Muslim member of Congress, has announced his abrupt resignation. Ellison has been a champion of progressive causes and now intends to run for Attorney General of his state of Minnesota. In an interview with the Guardian newspaper, Ellison said, "I am not looking to climb some career ladder. I don't give a damn about that. What I care about is how can I help the most people? How can I be maximally effective in defense of people's economic and social rights? That's what I care about." Protesters confronted Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Saturday while he was leaving a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky, over his support of Trump's anti-immigrant policies. It was the second time in a week that McConnell had been publicly confronted. The small group that spoke to him and chanted at him yelled, "Where are the babies?" They also said, "Abolish ICE."
Vote you out! 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 Vote you out!
Where are the babies?
Vote you out! Vote you out! Vote you out!
No comfort for fascists!
No comfort!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Meanwhile, in other immigration-related news, a federal court order has forced the Trump administration to release the names of all children under the age of 5 who were taken into custody after being separated from their parents at the border. The names of nearly 100 such children were released to the ACLU. The deadline to reunite children with their parents is tomorrow. But the government's plan for reunification is so disorganized that it is simply not working. Many reports relate that parents were ordered to sign papers for voluntary deportation in order to receive custody of their children. Several people have already been deported while their children remain forcibly held in the U.S. And finally, on Saturday, an event billed as a conservative alternative to the March for Our Rights rally that decried gun proliferation policies drew only about 50 people in Los Angeles. The pro-gun rally was organized by a student in Malibu, and the young attendees walked back and forth across a single city block in LA, chanting such things as gun rights are human rights. And that does it for today's headlines. On our show today, Isa Bloomi joins us from Stockholm to discuss the brutal and terrifying war in Yemen. He'll put the U.S.-backed Saudi attack on Yemen into a critical historical context. Then Travis Lupik, an award-winning journalist, joins us to discuss his new book, Fighting for Space, How a Group of Drug Users Transformed One City's Struggle with Addiction. Lupik's book shares the inspiring history of how grassroots activists transformed an area of the Canadian city of Vancouver to be a safe space for drug users and therefore actually began to solve the problems of addiction. We'll be back in just a moment.